in a daily earth walk, if I had compassion, full compassion, with that so-called dormant soul, and actually be very humble instead of fighting that dormant soul, be very humble because this soul aggregate has sacrificed itself to play a role on the earthly 3D plane in order to help others to awaken. Now I want to give one thought. Who is the true awakened one? Is it the one that is just awakening and on the awakened path? Or is it the great master that plays a role? It's a thought that everyone should sit with. So from a non-dualistic perspective, you have the answer right there.
Welcome to the Voices of the One Mind, where the elixir of wisdom flows freely. Join us as we dive into the profound thoughts of extraordinary human beings who embody wisdom, offering insights that serve as a bridge to awakening. Unshackling minds from the chains of suffering, our conversations pave the way for enhanced health, enriched lives, and exponential spiritual growth. Get ready to sip on the nectar of the One Mind with us.
In today's episode, we are diving deep into the awakening process that so many of us are experiencing. If you ever felt disconnected from society or found it hard to relate to people around you, you are not alone. Countless people on this journey of awakening share a common sensation. They no longer belong to this world as they once knew it. Why do awakening people often feel out of sync with society? And most importantly, how can they overcome these feelings of isolation? We'll explore the stages of awakening, elaborate how foremost the feeling of disintegration hides a huge potentiality of expansion. Join us today as we uncover practical tools and wisdom to help you navigate and thrive through this powerful journey of realization of the self.
Thank you for the invitation. It's nice to be back again.
Today, I would like to elaborate more on the shift, massive shift that is happening in today's world. Together with this shift, a lot of people are going through a process of awakening. Together with this process of awakening, a lot of them report what you will call side effects. So a couple of challenges are that they are not feeling in sync with the society or with people around them. So therefore, can you provide some insights into the process of awakening? What are the stages? What are the signs that we should be aware? And generally, how do we overcome them?
Yeah, so there is always more answers to one question. And I will try to elaborate a little bit more at the beginning from a dualistic perspective to create an overview. So what means awakening and what are the signs that people awaken? I mean, it's discussed heavily over the internet. What are your signs when you are awakening? I mean, for sure, one of the most important signs is when you all of a sudden start within yourself not only to question life, so it's not the classical midlife crisis that you question your life, that what you did, was it good or was it not good, or, you know, do you regret something? More like the aspect that you say, well, wait a moment, I'm so and so old now, and this life, it cannot have been only that what I'm doing, only the work, only the physical, only the family, only the holidays, only earning money, there is a deeper layer to life. Meaning, very simply said, people starting to question a little bit the only physicality of life, and slowly starting to smell, I would say, that there is a spiritual part, right? That is like a first sign of slow steps of awakening. And on the other hand, there are boosters, which happened in 2020, a worldwide big event created a big booster that many, many, many people were put on that, questions. Many, many people would start to ask themselves these questions, and even faster getting into a state of awakening, seeing all of a sudden what is going on, seeing all of a sudden that there is a matrix playing on in life, and that matrix keeps you as a human into a kind of a slavery system. Many people started to question religion, if religion is really the right approach to help, especially when we saw what happened in 2020, when all of the world major religion fully aligned and agreed to what was happening. That was kind of a booster for many people to say, whoa, wait a moment, you know, there is no questioning of that, you know. And I don't want to go so deep into what are these signs. I mean, if people, you want to Google, the whole internet is full of signs of awakening. And obviously, then it can accelerate and go very fast that you start to see all of a sudden, the whole grid, how things are set up, and many people first go through an effect of they start to question everything. And in the beginning, they start also obviously then to fight things and oppose things and be against things because they are shocked. They are in kind of a shock state, you know. That has going on my entire life, and I didn't know that before, and probably it has been going on even long before. So they are coming into this excitement state of being against or opposing that what is the matrix. And slowly that turns into a more spiritual approach and into a more seeing the bigger picture of it. And I speak to many people that contact me and ask me, hey, you know, what is your perspective on this? So these are people that are deep in their awakening path. However, they are still in the duality. And there is no spiritual path that will ever lead you to the big full picture if you stay in duality. Because from duality, you cannot explain the entireness. It's impossible. It's impossible. Because with duality, you would always need to question. You always have a left side and you always have a right side. And at the end of the day, everything is it. Everything is one. And from that perspective, everything that happens, everything that is in existence, exists from that very part. And everything that is in existence has the right to be in existence. That's very important to know. So everything what happens is just perfect. And what happens with people that are going into this awakening phase is that they start to they feel all of a sudden they feel like somebody has, like the perceptual thought, meaning, you know, what people call the mind. I call it the perceptual thought because the mind is something else. But the perceptual thought, perceptual thinking process, perceives like somebody has literally pulled away the ground under my feet, and I'm kind of in a free fall here, you know. And now it takes the spiritual path to to get on that road and not feel in that free fall. And many people say to me, wow, you know, I cannot cope anymore with the people around me, you know. I feel like I live in another dimension, you know. Everything feels very strange. And yes, absolutely, it is so. It is so. And from a dual perspective, you can now go into a new age. And into the new age belief system or religion, and can make up all kind of ideas that you are a star being from another planet, and that star being has now awakened, and you you know, you cannot cope anymore with these humans here because, you know, they are in their vibration much lower than I am, and all these kind of things. And what does that do? It just leads you to ever more and ever more and ever more feed your me and I consciousness, with other words, the ego. And that is when then we talk about spiritual egoism. When people come up with all kind of exciting stories because they feel that they are different than others. And they don't fit anymore. They feel they are more intelligent than others. They are spiritually much, much, much further advanced than others. And that can only be because, you know, I'm a special being. I'm a being from somewhere else, or I'm a, you see? And unfortunately, that will not lead the people into the path of the KDIUCL, the Cosmic Divine Infinite Unconditional Compassionate Love, because that is actually the remedy, I would say, or that is what the Earth Walk is about, to literally come into the state of the KDIUCL. I have said this in other occasions, within the earthly, very hard, very dense, very chaotic in a, I would say, from a dual perspective, in a negative way, environment. So it's very difficult to live love and empathy for most of the people in the surroundings that this world is set up. And as always, everything is perfect. The question is, well, why is it so then? You know, there is no coincidence. It is on a purpose. And
what is the purpose?
Yeah, the purpose leads exactly to that point that now I need to go into a non-dualistic explanation of the situation. Everything is one at all times. You are the awakened or the awakening, and you are also the dormant. Now you perceive the torment in other people, and that's good so, because that's only possible in the 3D. Only in the 3D there is the idea of separation. And this idea of separation is a dualistic thing, and this is an illusion. And hence what I said before, only from a non-dualistic perspective you will ever understand the big picture. When you understand that you are the awakening and you are the dormant, and not you are the awakening and you cannot cope anymore with the dormant, and that's why you go, there are different approaches, either you don't connect with these people anymore, or you have arguments with these people, I don't want to call them fights, but arguments with these people, or you have clashes all the time when you meet these people in shops or whatever. What does that show? If we understand that separation is the greatest illusion of humanity, if we understand that for a moment, separation is the greatest illusion of humanity. So, if it's an illusion, then it means I am that I am, and that means not separated from that being that gives me such a hard time over there now because the being is dormant and the being doesn't see the whole picture that I see. You see? From the big perspective, what happens? I am all that there is, and this all that there is manifested in a body A, but is also manifested in a body B. And only because it is manifested in both of the bodies, the body A can see the body B. Otherwise, it would not even be possible. So this is very simply and easily explained. And what happens? Now, from an earth walk perspective, and here we go a little bit again into a dualistic approach. If I perceive myself as a human being separated from the other human beings, everyone is talking always very greatly about we are all one, everything is nice, but with every first occasion you start to argue with your we are all one, but then we are not, it's the other person, you know? If you just realized that it's a delusion that you are telling yourself that we are all one because you don't live it. But if you would live it, there is no way, and not, I don't even want to use the word reason, there is no way to argue with this other person. There is no way. You just be in awareness, you just observe what this other you is exploring and doing. And you can share things if you feel so. And always remember, it's all you. Everything that you can see is you. You see? Everything that you can see, that you can smell, that you can perceive here with your five senses, that's all you. It's all you. And so, from a more dualistic perspective, I want to give one thought for people to think about. The awakened one, or the awakened, or let's put it that way, the non-awakened is the great master for the awakening. I'll repeat that again. The non-awakened or dormant soul is the great master for the awakening. And what does that mean? That means I could not awaken in the 3D on a dualistic perspective. I could not awaken from the idea of dualism, from the idea of separation, if not someone in the outside, something in the outside, shows me something. So in the dualistic world always needs the darkness to see the light. The dualistic world needs the one that is awakened and the one that is not awakened in order to have that two oppositions. And not just as an opposition, just for both the parties to realize each other.
And to become one.
There is nothing to become one. The one is always there. The becoming one needs to happen in the perceptual thought. So in that sense, you're right. Becoming one in the perceptual thought. And so, coming back to the key, the IUCL, Cosmic, Divine, Infinite, Unconditional, Compassionate Love, and the compassionate here is a point that I want to point out here in the topic that we have today. In the daily earth walk, if I had compassion, full compassion, with that so-called dormant soul, and actually be very humble instead of fighting that dormant soul, be very humble, because this soul aggregate has, I would even say, sacrificed itself to play a role on the earthly 3D plane in order to help others to awaken. Now I want to give one thought. Who is the true awakened one? Here. Is it the one that is just awakening and on the awakened path? Or is it the great master that plays a role? That's a thought. I don't want to comment that thought further. It's a thought that everyone should sit with. From a non-dualistic perspective, the answer is non-dualistic. So from a non-dualistic perspective, you have the answer right there.
That's so beautiful. How can we, one, integrate it in a way that we can again feel good? Because I think there is also a stage, right? So you are in the process of awakening and then you accommodate a bit in that new frequency. And then there is a process of integration. Correct me here if you see it differently or your perception about this is different. So how can one integrate it after these steps of awakening?
Well, the question is, what is the blueprint, so to speak, the goal of that soul aggregate? The beginning question of it. Meaning, is the soul aggregate here to obtain full enlightenment through that journey in the 3D?
So how can one know after the process of awakening what type of blueprint he has?
Well, it's not, the question is, who wants to know what? There is nothing to know. If I want to know, it's the perceptual thought that wants to know. There is nothing to know. If that soul aggregate is destined through the blueprint to obtain full awakening on this earth walk, the soul aggregate will go through that. And it comes naturally on the path. Meaning the deeper practice and the integration of spirituality, rather than running the life for the doings.
Mm. Right. So this is just food for your mind.
It's feed food for mind. The perceptual thought, exactly. And and these souls that are destined to awaken, they don't need to. I mean, they. It's not to know. Mm. It's even difficult to explain that in language. It's not to know. It is. It just is, and it's happening, right? And so, in a sense, what is the integration point? The integration point is that people are on the path of awakening, and then they realize things that other beings are not realizing. So if people don't integrate meaning in their perceptual thought becoming one again, in the perceptual thought becoming one again, because we are always one. I'm just talking about the blended mind, the mind that is delusional, right? What happens? We are creating an opposition to the rest of the world that is around me, right? And that will make my life very difficult, my earth walk, right? Now, I can look for an exit. However, that exit will not help because the soul aggregate, you know, if you choose for an exit by, you know, when you say, I cannot take this world anymore, and you, for example, choose for an exit by suicide, you know, there is so much karmic imprints loaded on that soul strength that... it's definitely no solution from a universal perspective. It's a solution for the perceptual mind, but the perceptual mind is an illusion by itself. So it doesn't, I mean, it exists, but it's not really here to, it's only here to overcome it. Let's put it that way. And unfortunately, it's giving us a lot of struggle throughout life. So if we have these classical symptoms, when you want to call it symptoms of awakening, and you have these, what you call side effects, is a nice expression, that you cannot cope with this world anymore because you are now in another dimension. You'll not be able to integrate KDIUCL, you'll not be able to integrate peace in your life as long as this is your perceptual idea. As long as this is your perceptual idea, because that perceptual idea would obviously mean that you are here by coincidence, that not by coincidence, but that you are here now on a false play, on a wrong spot, right? Because it's not your spot anymore. And this exactly is the big illusion and trick and of this whole New Age movement, is this idea we are moving now into another dimension. But this moving is happening without any integration, and the integration takes place in the 3D. And the 3D is here as actually a remedy, as actually a huge, what is the biggest, when you are in a, what is, when you are in this awakening process, what actually do these dormant beings and the dormant world and the dormant system around you that you can not deal anymore with, what does that do for you? It only gives you the opportunity, because it shows you the other side, it gives you the opportunity to integrate cosmic, divine, infinite, unconditional, compassionate love fully towards all that your perceptual thought is perceiving as dormant, as bad, as evil. That is the big opportunity in this awakening process, not to ever furthermore divide yourself from, ever more go into the illusion of separation, but to overcome completely that illusion of separation and integrate everything that is, because everything that is you.
What an illusion. What a trap, right?
What a trap. Once you thought you got it now, there is always another stage. There is always another stage. There is always a bigger picture. Once you thought, wow, I'm there, I'm so awake now, and now I see all these others that are not awake, and I'm in 5D and I'm this, you get to realize, if you get to realize, it was just a trap, it's just another, it's not a trap, it's just another stage of growth, and the trap there is that you fall into the idea of separation. This is always the trap, that you ever fall deeper in the idea of separation. See, what happens is the more that you awaken, the more the perceptual thought feels itself separated from all the rest that there is. And to overcome that is integration of KDIUCL and nothing else. And if you don't master that, you have not managed anything. There is no such thing as, oh, wow, I'm this big channel and I talk light language and I sit here and I channel the whole day and I can see this and I'm a healer and I this and that. If you are not able, to live this earth walk from the KDIUCL, from the lens literally of cosmic, divine, infinite, unconditional, compassionate love, to all that there is, with no distinction and no difference whether it's your child, your husband, your mother, or the stranger, the so-called stranger that walks by the house. If you make a distinction, it's not KDIUCL. Then it's affection, what people call love amongst each other. That's affection. But the KDIUCL is literally the same lens for all that there is in creation.
I also noticed that a lot of beings are very much into the story, into identities, as you said, being a healer, being channeling, being, but and I don't even know, I mean, based on what you said, it makes sense, but I don't even know if I can call them awakened if they are in the level of judgment or comparing with other beings, right?
The point here is, what is awakening? You know, awakening is first and foremost a word and a concept. Then there can be many different concepts to it, right? So now, for the awakening, there can be an awakening, oh wow, now I really see how all these governments keep humanity really not in their best interest. They are keeping them as slaves. I can call that, wow, now I'm awakened, right? Mm. Yeah. I can say, wow, because I see stripes on the sky, now I'm awakened. Because I see behind an agenda of an worldwide rolled out medical oppression as awakened, right? Yes and no. Yes, there is steps to see behind the vicious games, and that's awakening. However, before I have not integrated the KDIUCL in my earth walk, I am light years away, to speak with simple words, from enlightenment. And see, that is the awakening that I call awakening. All the rest is information on a perceptual level. Right? Okay, now I see this. Okay, but it's the same thing. I have seen always the tree only from behind. And now I walked behind the tree and now I saw, and I've been walking by that 3,000 times, but I've never seen it. Am I awakened? No, I got an information that something was behind the tree that I didn't see before. It's all, however, level for the perceptual thought. Just because you know the things that I just listed before, that absolutely doesn't mean that you have integrated or understood the big picture. You see? And the Mongolians always say, I love that saying, I've been there, and the shamans there say, or the people there say, everything happens under the big blue sky, meaning everything happens under the veil of the one mind, of the great spirit, of the great mystery, of that cannot be named. That is the big picture. That is the big picture. That everything is one. And the question why this one is expressing itself in these different ways and is expressing itself in very detrimental ways, fighting against each other, killing each other, and. This is not something that my perceptual thought needs to dive deep in or that needs to know. Important is that you live from a perspective of everything is to be loved. Why? Because that is killing, when it is loved, it will stop killing.
You mentioned about the big picture. What is the big picture? Maybe share it with the audience.
Imagine the whole unfolding, and that's why we call it the one mind, and we don't call it the creator, because the creator based on an idea that there was one entity that at one stage created everything that is in existence. Now the cosmos is an ever expanding out of itself, like a perpetuum mobile. And hence why Huang Bo in 900, might be even before, but that's the oldest that I could trace it back, we're starting to talk about the term the one mind. And that what means that everything that is in existence is, to explain it easily, is one cell. And this cell together has different energies. And because of these different energies, different things are growing out of it. But it's always the same cell. And however, these different energies are growing, meaning are creating things, it's ever more expanding out of itself. And hence the question, very simple. Many non-Christians ask Christians, many non-believers they would call, ask Christians, well, if there is Christ, or if there is the Godfather, how come that so many people in Africa need to suffer and die from nutrition, from malnutrition, from not having even water to drink? And the one mind is not an entity. Is not a religion. It's not an all father that takes care about its human family. That idea, completely misleading idea of what the one mind is. It's a misleading idea that all these religions preach. All of them. Some more, some less. There are religions who don't necessarily have this all-father figure. However, they have other doctrines that completely is a misinterpretation of the understanding of the one mind. This ever-expanding allness. I am that I am expresses that this energy that is growing something force is the I am, and that I am is the cell, the one mind. So there is no plan. There is a certain idea that was set free, and that idea was expansion into the Kidia UCL, the cosmic, divine, infinite, unconditional, compassionate love. And how that expansion goes, how chaotic it is, how long it takes, how much life it costs, there is no plan to it. It's all making of all these single energies that have a different vibrational field from that one cell. And that's why if we only look into the earthly realms of this earth and humanity, humanity is ever, in a way, whom humanity and nature reinventing itself constantly. Now, take this and play it out to this solar system and to all the other solar systems. So it's, and all, everything that can be perceived is part of that, I just call it for easier understanding, this one cell. And this one cell, you must not imagine as a closed cell, because it is not a closed cell. It is literally something, what sages say, it cannot be named. It cannot be named.
What would be your advice to our audience for, I don't even know if I can say integrating love, because this is coming, as you say, once you expand, once you are on the way, there is nothing that you can do mentally or...
You're right. How, and what you can do is you can live compassion instead of aggression, instead of attacking someone that did something wrong, whether it's a colleague in the office, whether it's a clerk in a shop, whether it doesn't matter. Instead of attacking the person and say, you know, compassion. Everyone, every of these energies that express and bring forth new creation, new creative ideas, has its own blueprint and has its own life path here. And we don't know that life path of that person. So by giving compassion and love, it helps this being so much in expanding. And we will, as humanity, never achieve peace if we ourselves in our daily life don't live that peace with everything that is surround. And what means that peace? It is having empathy, sharing empathy, and being in love with everything that comes on to me in life. Whether it's in the form of a human being, whether it's in the form of a great gift, whether it's in the form of a car accident, whether it's in the form of a cancer, whatever, the understanding must come that this doesn't come, or that what appears in front of me now, a situation, is not coming by coincidence. It's not coming by coincidence. It's coming because I have invited it to come, and because I am now ready to face it and deal with it. And if I deal with these situations with KDIUCL, there will be no obstacles. There will be no obstacles in my way with this situation. That's all.
So these are your pointers to our audience. Just accept everything, be more humble.
Well, if you say accept everything, I will say absolutely yes. However, most of the audience will say, but I'm not going to accept if my neighbor is coming to me and shouting at me. Well, my answer will be, well, then don't accept it and shout back at him. it will not bring you into peace. That's all. It will not create peace with him. If we think that if someone, let's break it down to a very lively situation, that someone that has a bad day, or just got a bad diagnosis, or had a car, it doesn't matter what, and is in a very bad mood, and is loaded, and is bringing out that load to the next best person that is walking by. If you then think the right way is to say, hey, I let not talk with me in that way, you have to respect me. If you think that this will lead to peace, or you will probably not even think that this will lead to peace, you will ask yourself, how come that we have wars going on around in the world? So I always say one thing, so within, so without. If you don't have peace, if you cannot live the peace with someone that attacks you, and you think you need to attack back, that's just a reflection into a small, bigger picture, because I said there is always a bigger picture before and always a bigger picture. So your private war that you are just having in this little situation that you had on the street is nothing else than a little acceleration to a war of two nations on this planet, let alone what the next bigger picture is, the ripple effect of your doing. Because you remember what I said, you are everything. And Native American Indians, I just come back from Montana, from the Blackfeet Reservation, they have a beautiful saying. It's not, they say, the wing of a butterfly can change the entire climate. And when they mean climate, they necessarily don't refer to the climate to the meteorological climate. But what they express with it, that something very small has the capacity to literally change the entire world, if that very small is aware that it is the entire world. And the butterfly is aware, because the butterfly doesn't have a perceptual thought.
Very beautiful. Very beautiful, your sharing. So what are you saying is that people should accept everything and embrace any situation that life greatly provides, that life on earth provides, and reflect on it. I also had this thought, like, you are talking about love, to be more in peace, which is something that you cannot do with people like outside if you don't have it inside, because so within, so without. So are there any practices, or how can one be more peaceful within and reflect that outside?
Well, of course, the idea, so within as without, is a little bit of a dualistic explanation of I am all there is, and I am everything. So meaning, we say, if I'm not peaceful within, how can I be peaceful without? Then the without and the within is the same. You cannot be peaceful within if you are not peaceful without. And what does that mean? Here we are back again. You are all. And this all has created so many figures in order to experience the possibilities of how a reaction can be, of how feelings and emotions can go. So meaning, you are brought into situations in your life, and this is to answer your question, how can you kind of practice? The practice is called L-I-F-E. The practice is called life. That's the practice. The life is what gives you enough training and opportunities and practices how to practice that peace. So if you ask me, what is a practice? to become more calm and more peaceful, I will not tell you sit down and meditate every day 4 hours. And meditation is something great and I recommend it to everyone. I say, go out there. Go and sit with your parents. Go and expose yourself to the wild, chaotic world out there. And then focus, bring to your awareness that all this being wants is now to be peaceful and not react on situations. This is something your perceptual thought can train. Bring yourself into situations that have a potential of you reacting. I don't say have a potential of unpeaceful, but of you reacting where you normally would react. And then be aware, observe the situation from a higher perspective. From a higher perspective, beam yourself out of your body when you're in front of this person that is not doing what you want. See the situation from above and say, how can I react now in order to stay calm and peaceful? And that is the training. That is the training. And that training is called life. And that training is the earth walk. We must not think that we get spiritually enlightened by sitting around and doing meditation all day. We have a chance to get spiritually enlightened by living our earth walk. However, living that earth walk with a high point of awareness. Be aware all the time what's going on, how you react. Reflect yourself, inquire is very important, very important.
Although many of us, I think because we have a pattern, the first step is to react to a situation. Instead of taking a step back, we are taking a step forward. So I don't know how one can avoid or close that pattern.
Well, there are practices that you can do. A very short one can be that you tell yourself, four times, deep breath. And you will see it changes. Another thing is when it's about bigger situations, what is an old saying that all people say, sleep overnight, right? But what does that mean, sleep overnight? Every one of you had these situations, and most of you have already slept over the night. And what was the result? You were fighting with this person today, that you slept over the night. Next day was completely different energy, right? So it is about to get that rage out. And that rage will eventually leave you by integrating these practices more and more. What I have learned and seen when I was together with the Mamos of Colombia, for example, when they get approached with a question, right? Not a simple question. What can you tell us about, you know, our brothers, the trees, or things like this? But a bigger question. Hey, can I invite you over to Europe? You know, that you speak to the people. That's a big question for them, of course, right? So they say they will give you one answer. I appreciate the question. We will sit, four of us, for 4 days, and then we give you the answer. So that means before they take an answer, they consult four of them, and they take four days for that consultation.
But why it's such a big hassle to take a decision?
It's not a big hassle, but decisions that are made from the perceptual thinking, right, are not decisions that always can be decisions that turn out to be good. However, these decisions mostly lack of discernment because they are too fast. And for discernment, you need a moment of breathing, of inhaling. And discernment is a very important thing. So whenever we say yes to something or no to something, we should do it from a perspective of calmness and discernment. You know, do I have discernment to it? And then I will be able to make a decision. And then I avoid emotional decisions, which are heat decisions.
True. So bring more oxygen to the brain.
Bring more oxygen to the brain, exactly. And it's not only bring more oxygen to the brain, but bring more oxygen also to the heart. What happens when I breathe deep? Also, what happens with the heart? The heart is beating slower, and when the heart has a slow pace, and that's also one thing that people can test for themselves. What can I do? Always observe your heart. If your heart is beating fast, don't take a decision. Don't go into a fight. This will always end not good. So always bring your heart first into a calm state, and take it from there as a guideline.
Yeah, heart physically and also
absolutely.
In other terms, it's a good pointer for anything in life, right? Well, thank you very much. Do you have advice to our audience?
Well, what I just said about the heart is, I think, very valuable advice for everyone. Whenever you feel your heart is beating fast, you are running into, let's say, if we are talking about cosmic, divine, infinite, unconditional, compassionate love, and we are talking about peace. You are not on that. You are not on that line. It doesn't mean when you have been running or swimming as a training, of course your heart is beating fast. It's not these situations. We are talking about situations that come on us, and we feel in rage, or we feel attacked. We just need to observe our heart. Our heart is always the human heart is practically the intelligence in the human body. It's the intelligence. And if you listen to your human heart, you know exactly what to do.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I always appreciate to be here. Looking forward to be here another time.
We've explored the deep and transformative process of awakening, one that many of you might be experiencing. If you ever felt disconnected from the world or found it difficult to relate to those around you, know that this sense of disintegration holds an immense potential for your growth and expansion. By embracing this journey and using the tools and wisdom shared, you can harmonize your inner transformation with the world around you. Remember, the key is not to withdraw, only to find a way to harmonize your inner transformation with the world around you, where your awakening serves not only your personal evolution, but also contributes to the larger collective consciousness. If today's insights resonated with you, share this episode with others on a similar path, and don't forget to subscribe for more episodes. Until next time, continue seeking, growing, and realizing.
Thank you for joining us on this enlightening journey with another voice of the One Mind. We thank you for your support, and to ensure that you never miss a drop of this wisdom nectar, click subscribe and stay connected with us on the onemind.org. Until next time, may your path be illuminated with profound insights and growth.